Tonight we are in discipleship lesson number 6. So if you want to grab your booklet or your handout tonight. And I think I was reviewing this again today, and this one's a little bit longer, so we'll just once again sort of stick to the discipleship booklet tonight. I don't think that we'll be turning to any references. Most everything should be in here that we're going to cover tonight. So we're going to look at lesson number 6, our work life, and let's ask God to bless this time as we study this and learn from Him. Lord, I thank You for Your word tonight. Thank You for its direction, God, in all phases of our life. And Father, we know that Your word is Your revelation to us of Yourself and what You've done for us of the future. But Father, there's also all kinds of stuff in there, like we're going to look at tonight, that show Your way and the way in which we should walk in this life. And Father, as we look at this lesson tonight, I pray that it'd be a help to us. I pray that it'd be an encouragement. I pray that it might remind us of who You are and the type of God that You are, Your nature, and Father, also the things that You've given to us to do. I pray that You would help us to whatever we do, whatever task that You've given us in life, however large it may be or however menial it may seem, that You would help us to do it heartily as to You. And Father, that's at home, that's at our work, and that's the tasks that You give us as You work, as we work together as a church family as well. And I pray You bless this lesson tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, lesson number 6 tonight, real practical. We're going to talk about our day-to-day work life. And so in your booklet, introduction, our God is pro-work. From the beginning, He set an example for us by laboring for 6 literal days. He then reflected on His work and deemed that it was very good. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 31. I think that we can all understand that. The fact that we get that same satisfaction comes from our God, that when we do a job and we look back and we reflect and we say, glad to get that done. That's the nature of our God. He did that and He made us that way to have that type of satisfaction when we look at something and be like, got it done. Feel good. Now I can go to bed. And that's what the Lord did. On the 7th day, He rested. And that doesn't mean that God stopped working altogether. Throughout the Bible, we find God working on man's behalf. And this continues to this very day. So His work wasn't done just in His creative work, isn't the summation of His work. God continued to work after creation. In what way? In your booklet, 2 Chronicles 6, verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward them." And so God continues to look to work and wants to work on behalf of His people. One way, another way that He does that, look at Hebrews 7 and verse 25, "Wherefore He," that being Jesus, "is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." And so He lives now to make intercession for us. And so He continues to work. It should be no surprise then to learn that God is very interested in our work ethic and our work life. Christians should not view their secular work as non-spiritual activity. On the contrary, every part of our life should be done for the Lord and through the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Number one, our attitude towards work. A, we have a responsibility to work unless physically unable. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. An individual who refuses to work is not worthy of eating. B, the Bible has zero tolerance for laziness. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. C, do not make excuses or be fooled by the excuses of others. Proverbs 20 and verse number 4, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. It's a matter of his will. Proverbs 22 and verse number 13, the slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. What is that? Always an excuse. That's what that is, right? Slothful men are identified by their many excuses to not work. Christians should shun these tendencies and be known to the world for their character and hard work. D, recognize the two ways in which Christians can become lazy. The Thessalonian church had developed some amount of laziness in their congregation. In both of his letters, the Apostle Paul had to remind them to get back to secular work. How did they become lazy? Number one, they became lazy through carnality. In 2 Corinthians 3:11 through 12, we read, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. That's intimating that they were eating others' bread, right? They were reliant on others. And this was simply because they were busybodies and not putting their hand to the plow and not working the work that they should have worked. So that's just through carnality. Two, they became lazy, and this one's a little bit trickier, but lazy through spiritual motivations. So in 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12, we read this. Paul says, and that ye study to be quiet and do your own business and work with your own hands as we have commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without and that ye have lack of nothing. The context reveals that the Thessalonians were thinking about the Lord's return, because the following verse, verse number 13, is that great passage in the scripture where we learn about the rapture. Right before he tells us about the rapture and the dead in Christ and looking for the Lord's return and those things, he addresses this issue of them not working with their hands. Okay? So it's a wonderful, back to your booklet, it's a wonderful thing to think about the Lord's return. This is a wonderful thing. However, the imminency of Christ's return does not negate our responsibility to work. In Thessalonica, this mentality actually hurt the congregation because those who signaled spiritual motivations, quote unquote, became dependent on the faithful work of others to keep the ministry afloat. Does that make sense? So it's this idea, the Lord is returning, so therefore I got to get busy for the Lord. I think it was, I got to get busy for the Lord. I got to get something done for the Lord. So I'm going to neglect these responsibilities that I have because I see them as being unspiritual, so I can focus my efforts on what I deem to be really serious spiritual stuff, like prayer and Bible reading or whatever it is. Okay? And so, this over here, work, that's just all vanity. That's not, no, we already addressed that. We're supposed to do everything that we do, everything that God gives us, we do for the Lord. And if that's showing up at work tomorrow at 8 o'clock, we show up tomorrow morning, we'll look at it in a second, for the Lord. Okay? So, this actually, what did we say here in the Signal spiritual motivations become dependent on the faithful work of others to keep the ministry afloat. So how did this mentality affect the church? There were those who were so spiritually minded in things that they were neglecting other things that they should have been doing. And what that did was that put the burden of the support of the ministry on those who were just faithfully working with their own hands. Okay? So you say, where do we see that? Philippians 4 in your booklet, verse number 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So the Philippians were supplying a need for the Apostle Paul. Why? For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So Paul was at a place in Thessalonica that should have been taking care of him, should have been providing for the work there, but because of these things, another church had to step in and carry the load. Make sense? And so other Christians had to step up and make it up because of this idea that, well, the Lord's coming back, I need to focus my efforts on these things and neglect, you know, the everyday work type stuff, okay, providing for my own. So that's something that happens in, believe it or not, that happens still today, okay? And so that's why it's in the booklet, because we don't ever want that mentality to be around here. Number two, our reasons for working, to provide for our own. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. An infidel is an unbeliever, 2 Corinthians 6:15. Most believers understand the God-given responsibility to work and provide for themselves and their family. It's a shame for someone who claims to be a believer to not have the character of an unbeliever. Thus, we must work hard to provide for our own. B, to provide for God's work. These are our reasons for working, for God's work and God's people. Our motivation for working is not nearly for self-provision. We work to provide for others. And so this is growth, this is maturity. Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. God meets the needs of his work and of his people by his people. Allowing God to use you to help his work and others is one of the most rewarding things in the Christian life. And that's, once again, Philippians 4:15 and 16. The Philippians, and now ye Philippians know that also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only, for in Thessalonica ye sent once again into my necessity. And so, ironically, Philippians is the joyful church that Paul writes to. And so they understood that principle and executed that. All right, number three, our attitude as an employee. A, work for the Lord. When we are working for an employer, they have essentially bought our time. In Ephesians 6, we learn some important principles about masters and servants that we can apply to our work life. Number one, be obedient. Ephesians 6 and verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Two, work as unto Christ. Ephesians 6:5b, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, of your heart, as unto Christ. As you work, know that you're following the Lord's commands, and work as if you are serving Him. Three, work as from the heart, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. This is working as hard as you can. Do your absolute best. Four, work knowing that God will reward you accordingly. knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Okay, so our work for the Lord. B, what are some other things? Our attitude at work, watch your mouth. Titus 2:9, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and please them well in all things, not answering again. To answer again is to talk back. This doesn't mean you will always agree with the decisions of your employer, but you shouldn't be looking to argue and fight with them. Since our service is ultimately to Christ, our obedience should end if we are asked to sin. But otherwise, we should be willing to do what we are asked within the confines of legal and lawful actions. C, be proactive in your work. Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We shouldn't be looking to slack off when no one is around. We know that the Lord is watching our every action. It is good to do the work assigned to you. It is better to go above and beyond. It has been said, a need seen is a task given. Unfortunately, most workers don't see the needs of the company. They are content to clock in, do what is required, and clock out. Okay? So, you know, we should seek to be, especially as Christians, more than that. And, that applies to everything. That's our home life. That's our work life. That's even as we just had Sunday school teachers meeting here last night, getting ready for Sunday school, starting up on Sunday. That even applies there. You know, this isn't clock in, clock out. You know, how can I do this? How can I go above and beyond? How can I do it well? This is actually more important. This is the Lord's house. This is His place. And really, the same, let's just say generally across the congregation, this is our church. Okay? So if you see a piece of garbage on the floor, you can pick it up. You know? If you see a chair that's turned sideways for 2 weeks, you can straighten it out. Right? Like just, you notice things. This is our place. And so, you know, this is all of ours. And so when we see stuff like that, we can just step in and, hey, lend a hand. Let's take care of that, you know? It's good to fellowship. It's good to all of that, all of those things. But let's take care of what God's given us. Okay? Be proactive. D, mind your own business. 1 Thessalonians at work, 4:11, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Be careful not to get caught up in the workplace drama. And there's a lot of it today. Instead of knowing the latest gossip, look for an open door to be a witness. E, seek the success of your employer. 1 Corinthians 10:24, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. This is a good lesson for all of us. This is a really good lesson for you young people tonight. As employees, we ought to endeavor to put forth our best effort for the success of our employer. B, or F, be a witness. Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. You will likely have unique opportunities to speak up for Christ at work. Use wisdom in the timing and your approach. Remember that your employer is paying you to work, not to be a witness. So don't be foolish. Matthew 10:16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. 4, our attitude as an employer. A, compensate your employees well. And everybody says, could you give this lesson to my boss? Colossians 4:1, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. It has been said that an employer who pays peanuts should not be surprised when he gets monkeys. As an employer, our job is to not take advantage of our employees, but to treat them right and to pay them as good as we can afford. Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We should be looking for an open door to give abundantly and above where we have an opportunity. B, treat your employees with respect. Ephesians 6:9, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Christian employers need to remember that they have a master in heaven. The Lord is watching you and sees how you treat the people over which he has given you some authority. Treat them the way God would have them to be treated. Okay? So that's number four, our attitude as an employer. Then let's talk for a moment here about workplace adversities as a Christian. A, persecution should be expected. You may experience some ridicule and persecution because of your faith in Christ. Don't be surprised by this. It's part of the Christian life when we choose to live godly. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We've been very blessed to not have severe persecution in our country, but you will likely deal with mockery, gossip, and maybe more. Don't allow this to discourage you or stop you. These things can be an excellent opportunity to be a testimony of how a true Christian responds to adversity. How do we do that? B, take persecution patiently. 1 Peter 2:18 through 23. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, because we don't always get the good and gentle boss, but also to the froward. Sometimes we get that one. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. Learn to do right, whether you are recognized or not. You may miss out on a promotion or a raise. Be aware that these are the times when our adversary will tempt us to ruin our testimony in front of the unsaved. Six, changing jobs. A, seek wisdom from God. You will likely change jobs at some point. This should be done carefully and prayerfully. God will give you wisdom in this if you seek him. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. B, seek wisdom from men. The Lord also puts other people into our lives from whom we can glean wisdom. Don't be too proud to ask for advice and wisdom. God's protection in decision-making is available for you there. Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. In Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. And then finally tonight, looks like we got through it quicker than I thought. C, money should not be the only consideration. We spend roughly one-third of our waking hours at work. Where we are employed is a major factor in the life that we will live. A decision this big must be made with God's help. You may get a great-paying job that wrecks your family. You may be offered a position in an area that has no decent Bible-believing church. God will honor you if you prayerfully consider these things and keep your priorities straight. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay, so there is our lesson on work life. A lot of good help in there tonight, young people. Hope you're paying attention to that. Go back, make your own notes, think about those things as you're working. for your employee. A lot of our young people are growing up and getting jobs, entering the workforce, and it's a challenge. Your testimony there and your work ethic there and the things that you face, there's a lot these days. But there's a lot of help here and with the men and women in this church who are successfully navigating these things. So don't forget to access that. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time studying the work that you give us to do. And God, thank you for those of us who can work. Thank you for that ability to work. And sometimes, Father, we look at it as a drudgery, or we look at it as something we have to do. But God, we're mindful that sometimes that ability is taken from people. And Father, what they would do to be able to labor again. And so, Father, thank you for giving us work to do. I pray that you'd help us to be faithful, even in that which is least, and especially in that which is least. I pray that even the lesson tonight would just be a good reminder as we hit work tomorrow, Father, to work heartily for you and to do as best as we can for you as we work and serve the people that you've placed us under. And thank you, of course, for your great example, not just your work ethic in creation and today, but the example of your own Son, Jesus Christ, who came into this world and ministered, and then at the end said, "I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do." Thank you that he was faithful, Father, to his calling, and that he did everything well, even unto the death of the cross. Thank you so much for that, and we just love you tonight because of that truth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, we'll just be dismissed here tonight. Hope you have a good evening and rest of your week, and Lord willing, we'll see you this weekend at 9:30, Sunday morning.